Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, and good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and guess what? I have an incredible show for you today. It's so incredible that you just have to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, maybe in your house, maybe it's your spouse, maybe they just quit their day job and they want to be an entrepreneur. I guarantee if they tune into the Roundtable Talk Show, they'll be able to learn something that will help them with their journey. Or maybe it's a child, someone just finished school. They want to become an entrepreneur, a business owner, and they're just starting on this journey. They'll learn today, but they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Hans Phillips. Hans has been in business as a coach and consultant for 29 years with 29,000 client hours. He works with clients around the world, supporting them personally and professionally to create and maintain sustainable high performance and the enjoyment of life. His work is based on emotional intelligence, conscious living, ontology, and phenomenon. That last word I can't pronounce. I'll ask Hans about it. Good morning, Hans. How are you?
I am well. Phenomenology.
Phenomenology. That's where I'm not good at all of that. But hey, Hans, how are you?
I'm doing well. It feels like we're coming back. It feels like things are opening up, that people have hope. And that's a really good feeling.
What makes you say that?
Oh, goodness. Well, I normally have about 10 conversations a month. And over the course of the last 12 months, it's gone from 10 to one. And as an entrepreneur myself, that's a scary statistic. I've been able to put a patchwork of business together, but things seem to be coming back to normal. People are willing to invest in themselves. People are willing to invest in the future of their business, whether they're an entrepreneur or an executive. So that's the trend that I'm seeing.
So when you say you had one conversation and you're the 10, so now you're having 10 again, or are you having one again?
Now I'm back to 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just wanted to know you. I'm in 12 months.
I wanted to know your viewpoint on how people determine certain things. And the reason is I've done almost 300 episodes and almost everyone has shown up. Over the last month, I've had, out of 14 months, in the last 30 days, I've had three shows where only one person has shown up. And I'm like, where all these people go? You know what I mean? And I think it's what you said, Hans. They're out, they're moving, they're no longer stuck in quarantine. So people are like on with life.
It's true. And I liked what another guest before we were on the air here, I liked what he was talking about, how things have been kind of pushed forward. Things have been focused in a way during the pandemic that they weren't before, which is has positives and negatives. My wife and I are in therapy because the intense time together revealed some cracks in our marriage of 33 years, and we got to get to work on that. At the same time, we're doing these Zoom events all over the place. We're related to people all over the planet in a new way, and that I think is a good thing. A lot of people have had to get familiar with technology in a way that wasn't probably going to happen for another 3, 5, or 7 years, and where at the same time, this is like summer school, you know, you were focused during the year in school and you've got your calendar and your schedule and you're on time, and then summer comes and it's just like, all bets are off, I'm going to the beach. And so I think that people are experiencing some of that, and they just have lost their way a bit in terms of their personal integrity, their calendar, what they're committed to, and you know, being reliable. I think that the sun is shining and, you know, some people are in places where, you know, masks are not required, and that just seems like a great idea.
Yes, I'm tired of these masks. But Hans, I want to go back to these 33 years, not because I want to get all up in your business, but that's what I all do. Right. And I'm curious because you said after 33 years, now you're in counseling. And it just surprised me because I have a good friend of mine who was married for 10 years. And from what I thought, looking, you know, into it from the outside, they had the perfect marriage. But I also think COVID led to the demise of their marriage because prior to that, they were both employed. They both went to work. You know what I mean? They weren't sitting on top of each other all day. COVID hits. They both get laid off. There's less money coming into the house. And all of a sudden, they're arguing nonstop. A year later, they are literally divorced. Was there any element of that for you where it was like our life changed and what was normal for us is different and that caused a little bit of friction?
Yes, it was like being thrown into a life raft. And you've got fear about the present, you've got insecurities from the past, and you've got anxiety about the future. And a lifeboat is a very small place. And,
right.
That other person keeps doing that irritating thing every day, all day, that breathing in and out and in. And out. Can you just pick one, for goodness sake, right? And so things yes. that didn't bother you, you start to focus on them rather than your own fear. You start to focus on the other person, and then you're having conversations where you're focusing, and there's blame and, you know, resentments and withholds and all kinds of stuff. And before you know it, something that was great, you've completely disassembled it, and you know. I'm shocked, and I don't know how my wife and I got here, but our therapist is helping us take it apart, and I believe we'll come back together. I'm not certain, though, and that's very confusing because my wife has been my future for the last 33 years, and we're literally looking at, we have to redesign. We have to learn how to focus on ourselves and our self-care more, and we have to now actually date each other. To get to know each other again and see, is this next chapter married or just friends and business partners? But my wife was very nice. She arranged a vacation for my son and myself. And on that vacation in Mexico, just about a month ago, she said, our friendship is not at risk. Our business partnership is not at risk. And our co-parenting our son is not at risk. And I thought that was very generous of her because to Green, it looked like it was all up for grabs, but no, it's just the marriage, which is not a small thing. But that's what we're working on.
Well, I want you to stay married. I don't even know her, but I think you're amazing. So that means she must be equally amazing. I don't like divorce. Oh, she's more amazing. That's right. Stay together. Tell her to watch this video. Sharifa Hardy said, work it out. Now, Hans, I am going to come back to you, but I want to move on to our next guest who knows a lot about friction and what's going on in the world, Miss Kim Ledgerwood. Kim is a retired Toronto police officer who has overcome mental health issues and addictions. She retired after 30 years only to promote her passion and share it with whomever she can. She has written two chapters in the latest series of Women Empowering Women to Succeed, Legacy, published in June. She is sharing her story on podcasts around the world and feels she is doing God's work. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
I am just nosy. That's what I don't usually say that, but that's where I am this morning. Like, I want to know today what's going on. So, Kim, first, I'm going to hit you with two things. Tell us about yourself, who you are, and what you're passionate about. And I usually don't do this, but I just want to know if you had any thoughts about what Hans had to say about how, you know, we're affected by this lockdown.
Well, who I am is, you know, Kim Ledgerwood, and I did retire in February after 30 years. I didn't end my career the way I wanted to due to mental health issues that came to the forefront due to a radio call that I attended. Totally sent my life on a different path than I thought, but I take that back because I don't think it was the path I was supposed to be on originally. Because everything lined up with God and having him back in my life. And I feel so much better now and fulfilled with my life. Now that I have that behind me and I'm able to still serve the public, but in a happy way where people are happy to see me because I'm going to help them with their health. And it's always good. And yes, I got to write about some of my past in a upcoming woman's book to empower women, which is an awesome opportunity. And also helping, just helping people do the same thing that I have, to get away from that 9-to-5 job. You don't need it. I did that. I worked for somebody for 30 years. I get it. I get the politics. I get everything that goes with it. And let me tell you, it's only been a couple of months that I've been on my own now, but the freedom and the mental health release of everything that comes with having to commute to work, go to work, deal with people that maybe you don't get along with, maybe even worse, you don't get along with your boss. It's just a whole different world that I'm very grateful for, and that I can do it as well. You know, I know not everybody can do that and take those chances. And that is why I had that 30-year career, because I was a single mom and I felt I didn't have any choices. I had to stay with the safe thing, but it made me miserable, to tell you the truth. It really, really did. So now I'm able to pursue my dreams, and I've never been happier, and I have a lot of support, and it's wonderful. In regards to COVID and what's happening with mental health, I mean, I'm just so happy I never resorted back to drinking. I kept my sobriety through COVID, which I know, unfortunately, a lot of people could not. If you look at the blue bins on the streets, you'll see that. But what I did was eat. So I found solitude in eating, which I'm sure a lot of people did in that too as well. But I also didn't, which can cause you mental health issues, because you get so depressed when you look at yourself in the mirror, right? But you know what? I can lose the weight. As for marriages and what Hans said, I'm single. So I did not have to listen to anybody breathing. I had a boyfriend, and maybe I did get annoyed with him, but he was just gone, right? That's not. So, yeah, but I can see. It's hard. Everybody's in a different position. I'm in Ontario right now, so we are in a lockdown, have been on and off. It's awful. It plays with your mental health. Every day is a battle. I wake up and go, okay, you got this today. And especially now, like, you look out and it's dreary and dark. I think everybody's moods, everybody's on edge. People are snappy. And like you said, missing meetings and stuff, for sure. And we're all at different stages. People homeschooling, my God, I wouldn't even call them. I'm afraid to get, you know, because people have lost their jobs. People don't know how they're going to make their rent. Landlords who are renting don't know how they're going to get any money, because the people they're renting to can't pay their rent. Businesses are going out. There's 30% of businesses, like, just for lease signs are all over the place. It's scary. It's very, yes. Very.
Wow. Yes. I want to go back to what you said about the radio call, not the specifics of it, but it was seeing that after 30 years that nothing could affect you. Do you feel like it was just that call, or it was a culmination of everything just you've been dealing with over 30 years?
The radio call happened at 28 years, and okay. I thought I was safe. I thought, okay, I got a couple more years to go. If I stay, because I'd gotten myself promoted to a desk job where I supervised those who were in the front line, except that particular summer, because of the increase in gun violence, my position, my rank was required to go out onto the streets with my platoon, which was fine, except it happened to be the weekend where one of the biggest calls went down in Toronto, and I was there. And it was the straw that broke my back. I already had a diagnosis of cumulative PTSD and anxiety, but I was able to work because I was out of the line of fire. I hadn't had anything present me with that I had to be off work as yet, or needed to be off work, or needed to deal with it. So I thought I did need to deal with stuff. I ignored it. Right. Because I was just like, oh, it'll be over soon. I'll be okay. I think I made it. And then that happened, and everything went sideways for me. But in the beginning, I thought, you go through this, right? I thought I was so resentful and so angry that I was there. I was like, I'm not supposed to, why was I there? I wasn't supposed to be there. It was like very rare that I would have been there on the chief's orders, that my position go out on weekends. And then after now, I'm fast forward 2 years and a bit, it's like I was meant to be there. Mm-hmm. Because I believe God said, If you don't deal with this stuff now, 2 years from now, there's not going to be a you.
Wow, that is so powerful. I still see the emotion that it brings up when you talk about it. Wow, I just want to give you a virtual hug. You're just so amazing. Kim, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This young lady is incredible, Miss Celeste DeCamps. Celeste is a motivational speaker. She shares a lifetime experience of stage dance and movement through engaging stories and fun audience interaction. Her presentation's focus is to help women be confident as they pivot to a new challenge in their lives. She is also the co-founder of Authentic Voice LLC, where she helps people with their communication and presentation skills. Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Really nice to be on here with you. And it's amazing listening to everybody's stories already. But this is what I like about your show.
Okay.
And I appreciate the introduction. And it's funny, even when I listen to that, I think how far I've come. Because growing up, I was so incredibly shy. And I knew even then that if I didn't get over this, that I was going to have trouble having success in anything, socially, business. But the one thing that always gave me confidence was dancing. Mm-hmm. I dance anywhere, anytime, for anybody, and not think at all about what other people were thinking of me. And it was the only time I felt comfortable in my own skin. But what was fascinating, though, is not understanding that when I did become a professional belly dancer, that confidence that I felt on stage started to creep into my everyday life. And I didn't connect the dots. I just thought, okay, maybe I'm finally learning how to come out of my shell. I still didn't trust it. It wasn't until I started teaching other women to dance. Mm-hmm. And then I understood what was happening. Because you have to picture this. A group of women come in, they're so excited. We're gonna learn something exotic like belly dancing. And yet when I try to put them in the positions, they suddenly become like statues. And they go, yes, but my hips don't move that way. I'm like, no, you're a woman. It's very natural. Of course your hips move. And I realized that the dance session kind of turned into a therapy session as each woman explained to me how she does not feel pretty. She does not feel feminine. When I got them to relax, when I got them to have some fun, and then put them into different sexy positions, the transformation was that quick. Because all of a sudden, they're smiling, real smiles, and they're looking at each other, they're going, I am so sexy. It's like, I know, I'm beautiful. And they would come up to me afterwards and they said, I didn't know that I could ever feel this way again. I felt like I pushed my femininity down to where it was buried and it was gone forever. And I thought, well, you know, there is something to how we hold ourselves. And that started me on a journey of understanding the importance of body language, that our body language screams volumes before we even say a word, but it's a reflection of how we feel. And so I have done since then a lot of different jobs. I've been involved in radio and television. I used to play in a band. I was a drummer. I owned a jazz and blues restaurant with my brother, Stan. It was called One Night Stands. Phenomenal saxophone player. I know, it was a great place. Live music, incredible bands came through there. And then when I moved to New York, I took a job selling wine and spirits to restaurants, clubs, and hotels all over the city. And I realized that a lot of that would not have been possible if I didn't realize that I had the power of confidence with me all the time. I just had to regularly check in with my body. How am I holding myself? How am I presenting myself? And it's amazing because as soon as you pull your shoulders back and you lift your head, immediately that negative voice shuts up. And it's great because I feel that now my mindset is much more positive. I go in, I make eye contact, I smile, and it opened up doors for me. And I thought, you know something? It's time to be able to teach other people how to do that. and give them real tools. My presentations aren't a cheerleading type of thing. It's not rah, 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 next day, okay, the cheerleading's done and I still don't feel good about myself. But what I try to do is something different. I get people to actually do the moves with me, to understand that they have this whenever they need it. And they walk away with that confidence. And it's great when I get somebody that tells me later on that going to job interviews was just a reason to have a panic attack. But when they started to pay attention to their body and pull their shoulders back and walk in with purpose, he said they owned the room and nailed the job interview. And then that's everything to me. That means everything.
That is beautiful. I can see how it lights up your life and lights up your face. Are there any key moves, like any typical move? Because I love belly dancers. I always think it's beautiful, but I'm one of those people like, I can never do that. You know what I mean? I'll be the first one to turn into a statue. Are there basic moves?
Yeah, a lot of it is just getting out of your head. A lot of it is that we're just so self-conscious and we put up a block that says I can't do it. But belly dancing is the oldest dance form and the most natural way for a woman to move. And so what I simply do is I tell them, okay, just center yourself and then shift your weight just back and forth, just so you understand that just shifting gives you an understanding of how we distribute our weight. And then when you put it all on one side and you lift your hip, and then you bring it back down, you said, but oh, okay. There's this little give and take. And then as you move one hip and then you move the next hip, then your arms get involved, your shoulders are back, your head's lifted, it's tilted. And it's a very simple, soft moves, but it's amazing how quickly it changes your attitude, how it changes that emotion. It's the same, like I'm sure Kim feels different when she had her police uniform on than when she took it off, you know, because you're talking about a weight of responsibility once that uniform comes on you. And that in itself is its own mindset. It's a great way to feel confident, but it's that responsibility and power that comes with it. And then feels so completely different when you can finally take it all off. Yes. So it's interesting how much power we do have over our thoughts than we realize. You know, that's why I tell people, take that extra effort to make yourself up, fix your hair, put on something nice. You know, yes, it's good to be comfortable, but when you are out and about and you want to make an impression, take a little bit of time, because it not only gives a great impression to others, but it's more for yourself. You feel better about yourself. You know, and so, yes, I mean, when we would belly dance and I mean, putting on the costume, oh my gosh. I mean, that was in itself just a feeling of sexy femininity and power, you know, the beads and the coins and the colors and the veils, and you get to do your makeup and your hair, and it's all of a sudden, you know, you are not the housewife anymore. You're not the mother, you're not the wife, you're not the executive, you're not a coworker anymore. No, you are just you.
I love it. I love it. And so I love when I'm just me and I'm free to be whoever I want to be. Celeste, I am going to come back to you. I want to introduce this young man, Mr. George Bosselman. George is president/director, international business management, risk consultant, and he's a native of the Chicago area. Has broad range of knowledge accumulated from his many years of work experience and education. With a BS and master's in business management and a doctorate in international business, he has many appearances, including speaking engagements and guests and hosts on the financial news radio shows and also appearing on television. Good morning, George. How are you?
Anna, good morning to you. Thank you. And I appreciate you coming on board to you do a very fine job of interviews because you get into the part of our body that most people don't really want to touch. You're asking the questions that open us up to criticism as well as praise. So I really want to take and give you a compliment from that. Interesting world that we have, dynamics of the various speakers that we have here. And one of the things that is that's our world in itself. Everybody has got so much, but they don't talk about it. They have it buried within themselves. Everybody can be successful, but it all depends on what their level of success is mentally. We shut ourselves down by calling it the glass ceiling. Well, my job is, I've been a consultant for far too many years, probably 20 plus years. And a businessman will take and grow a business from a garage to where he has probably 100 people working for him. And he absolutely can't make it work. He's about ready to take and pull the pin and call it bankruptcy. And so we sit down, we start by just asking some of the simple questions. How did you get here? Well, this is what I did. Okay, that's fine. Now, how did you get here? And he's looking at me and he's asking you're repeating yourself. No, the question is, I'm asking, how did you get to this place? If you were successful, you got success, one particular client maybe canceled on you or something like that, and you now have sitting there with a bunch of inventory you have to move. Maybe you have all types of manufacturing that you may find is not working in today's world. There is always a place that you can take and make things work, but you have to bring yourself out of your own dilemma of saying it isn't working. And that's what I loved about doing the belly dancing. It's saying you have it within you. It's just bringing it out. Everybody has it within themselves. And it's like doctors prescribe antibiotics. And they say, well, if I had an antibiotic, I'd be able to take and beat this disease. No, the disease is there because you aren't fighting it. It fighting within itself. The antibiotic maybe just gives you a little more leverage, but it doesn't cure the disease. You're doing it with your own cells that make it happen. And this is the part of our world that we just don't think of ourselves as being, we're our own hero. We got here because we did it and we got ourselves to this place. We're all heroes in our own right. And we've done many things to make us heroes, but we don't make ourselves hero in our own mind. We are very successful, whatever profession you're in, be it a policeman, a firefighter, which everybody points to them and say, well, look what they've done. They're our first line of defense. That is correct. But as an individual, where are they? And that's when they need the help. Because they see things that you and I just could not imagine or would be able to take and tolerate, but they see it on a daily basis. So they're needing somebody to take and be a hero in their own life. Sometimes it's talking to somebody else and being able to take and get that done. I've seen, in fact, I just came from a meeting this morning with a fellow that is one of those heroes. Not only is he a firefighter, he works on an ambulance as an EMT, but he also works as a counselor when major disasters come and the police and fire departments don't have anybody to talk to. They come in with a team and have these conversations. So these people get a chance to be healed in their own rights, in their own ranks, be able to talk to each other and know that they are a hero. They've come through this and they'll be able to go on because they have. That's our hero part. That's the part inside of us that makes it work. So that's me in a nutshell. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it internationally and I like the Zoom idea because I can actually look at people and see where they're coming from. And my little corner of the world, I hoped I've done something to be a hero in somebody else's eyes, and they then become that hero. They pull themselves up. I don't do anything special. I just help them do what they're doing already. And that's success.
Beautiful. being a success and being heroes. I absolutely love it. Kim, I want to go over to you because Celeste referenced you and George referenced you as well. One of the things that Celeste referenced is putting on that uniform and putting it on as far as this weight that you wear and take off. And George referenced you based on your career as a hero. What are your thoughts when you hear them speak?
Well, Celeste is absolutely right. I used to think I had two different personalities. I would put on my uniform and they had a mirror in front of the door before you left the change room. And I'd stand there and go, all right, game on. And I would take on that role of being, you know, who I had to be for that day. But when I took the uniform off, I was not that person. I'm not an authoritative like, what do you need to be a cop? I was not. So really, I faked it my whole 30 careers. I was somebody that I wasn't in order to get a job done, which I know I'm not alone. People have to do that, but I wasn't true to myself. But I mean, I started when I was 19 years old. I didn't know any better. And you get paid really well as the years go by. And then you think you're not qualified for anything more. Then you have some children and a family and that's what you do. So and yeah, I mean, I realize it now and it's been addressed, but that's completely what happened. I was a different person when I put that uniform on and then things would slide over to my personal life and that, and just, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. To do it all over again, would I be a police officer? No, not knowing what I know now, but I didn't know. Right. And as for being a hero, I'm also not good at taking compliments and stuff like that. I think out of my whole career, 10 people have said, thank you for your service.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just used to getting shit on.
Oh, wow.
That's what we do as police officers is we're not anybody's heroes. Those are the firemen. Although, you know, and it's because the firemen don't get the bad rap on the news or the media or this and that. And you only see one side of the story. And I'm not saying all officers are perfect by any means, but you rarely hear a good story. And why is that? Because good stories don't sell. But I've done a hell of a lot of good. And I'm just one person out of 5,000, you know? So I'll take that. Thank you, George. I will take that compliment. And I did. I did a damn good job. And I am proud of my career.
Well, thank you for your service, Kim. George?
I wanted to say thank you because service that you offer, it is untiring because these are the people that are going into the burning buildings. These are the people that are going into the lines of fire. These are the people that are defending us from the other people that we really don't want them to be. They don't want them knocking on our door and invading our house in the middle of the night. These people help take and keep us safe. And that's something which only we get to look at. I have contacts in other parts of the world, and I had a friend of mine in Iraq, and he's going through the same thing with the line of being able to take and go out of his house. He can't. But when he could, he didn't know if his house was still going to be there when he came home from work. And so I asked him after a disaster, I said, how are things? He says, oh, that's fine. That was two blocks away. And I say, how do you live in that? He said, well, if it gets real bad, I'll go over to Turkey. Well, guess what? Turkey melted down. So you want to help your families. And he is a hero because he's putting himself in harm's way to make a living for family. Mm-hmm. No one's telling anybody about that.
Right. That's why we have to talk about it and have this conversation. Hans, do you ever feel like you have different personalities in your work? Do you feel like you have imposter syndrome at any point?
It's funny. My childhood was full of dysfunction and I started studying, how am I going to reintegrate? I just spent 10 years at the age of 15 just figuring out psychology and emotional intelligence, and come to find out that if you do the work to fully integrate, raise your EQ, get present, there's really no need to be anybody other than who you are. And that authenticity really is the best that life can get. And there are so many impediments to that, where you live, how you live, what your job is, who you surround yourself with, who you interact with. So I'm 60 now, and my life is very, very particular. It's designed to support me in being present, being my authentic self. I just had to block a high school friend because she was mean to me, not once, but twice. I'll give you one chance, but I won't give you two, not at the age of 60. And I just simply blocked her. I'm not gonna have a conversation with her. She's that way, she's 62. That's fine, you be that way and I'll be over here. But I'm all about having a secure, safe, whole, healthy environment throughout my day so that I can enjoy myself and my world as much as possible.
Oh, that is beautiful. I block people and then people say I'm wrong because they're like, you know, you should talk about it. You should communicate. I'm like, no, they should have said what they said. I don't want to argue. And that's one of the things that I say. I don't, you know, I've been divorced twice. My kids are 24, 27. I pay for everything in my life. I don't have anyone that I have to argue with. And I don't like to argue. Why can't we just talk? I believe change starts with the conversation. That's just me. Now, Hans, one of the things that you mentioned was raising your emotional IQ. Is it
EQ?
EQ,
emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence, right. But when I hear people say that, it sounds so simplistic. Like you just raise it and then you'll be happy and all. You know what I mean? How do you do it? What are the steps that it takes to do it?
So I know George probably has a book he likes or a course he likes. My favorite is Emotional Intelligence 2.0, a book by a couple of authors. One's last name is Greaves. There's an online emotional intelligence test that you can take that's linked to that book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And you just look for what's working and what's missing. And the book gives you very simple instructions. And emotional intelligence has been around for a while. It's just most people think, well, I'm this smart and I feel this way and there's no way to change that. Well, you can change your emotional intelligence, and it's worth working on so that you're more responsive, less reactive, more calm, more considered, not held hostage by some of your emotions or people who trigger your emotions. So it's been around a long time, and I just started working on it about 10 years ago. So it's new for me, even after all these years of coaching and consulting.
Wow, 10 years, that's no short time. George, Hans wanted to know, do you have any books that you read on this topic?
Well, unfortunately, there's quite a few books out there. I'm also an author, but that I'm not going to promote a book. Amazon priced it out of the world. But the thing is, all of us have something that we can take and lean on. Start by taking and having that conversation with somebody that's close to you, that you trust, that won't be repeated. And therefore, that's the first step to taking and getting out of your inner shell. Because once you start getting into what made you a success the first time, because you did something and it was successful, it wasn't an accident. It was because of purpose that you had. Most middle management makes the mistake because they think it's the problem. They're being held up by the upper management. No, they're being held in that place because that's where they feel comfortable to do their job. People that are CEOs of a multi-million dollar place, guess what? They didn't just get thrown into that job. They had to develop the EQ all the way up to the level that they actually can take and respond and be that person in charge of that larger dollar amount. And so each step of a way we make, it requires part of our emotional intelligence. It requires part of our actual physical intelligence, because some people are great in a particular position. And now, do you want to go tell them, oh, you're the best janitor we've ever had? No, that doesn't quite come out that way. But you need to take and find ways to take and in their position without taking and saying you're smarter than they are. So we have to work together. Now, as they say, if I were the smartest one in the room, I'm in the wrong room. Well, that means something, because you always want to take and get with people that have gotten it together above you. And so you learn to come up to their level.
Absolutely. But it's not always easy. I remember one show that I hosted and we had this conversation. I was like, I know in this room, this conversation, I am not the smartest person. It was like two scientists, an engineer and like a doctor. And I was afraid to ask questions. I'm like, these people are so, so intelligent. Celeste, I see you nodding over there. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, we all feel that way at some point. I think that, you know, that was a lot of my problems for so many years is I'm thinking anything I say is just sounds stupid. And I would beat myself up. I mean, the whole night of going, why did you say it that way? What did you do? Why did you do that? And I mean, it's maddening. And then I started to realize nobody cares. And that's a good thing. Because, you know, I realized that, you know, I learn a lot listening, which is great. And I am happy to listen to people talk. And that is when I learn. But when it is my time and it's my turn to deliver my voice and my message, I have now that confidence to do it. And that was the difference. It wasn't just me sitting there and on the sidelines anymore. I was able to get in the mix and realize that I wasn't going to speak of what I do not know, but I will speak of what my experiences brought me. And they're just as valid. But I remember reading a long time ago, and it just has always stuck with me. They said, you take a group photograph, and now everybody's looking at the picture. Who do you look for first?
Yourself.
Yes, of course you do. I want to know how I came out, you know? My friend's going, oh, my eyes are closed. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Let me see how I look. But that's just it. I mean, we are focused many times on ourselves. And I've learned that the best thing for me is to get out of my head and get into somebody else's. And that took a lot of pressure off of me because now I am with that person. I, just like Hans said, I'm present. I'm focused. I build relationships quickly that way because that person knows I'm interested. I want to know. And I'm happy to listen to what you have to tell me, not just in my head going, okay, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Then you're outside of it and it comes back to you. So I've learned, you know, so yes, maybe you were there, you know, talking to people that I had a whole other field that you're not privy to. But you gave them a platform where you can learn. And that is a good thing. I mean, you still facilitated that. I'm sure the conversations flowed and you gave your audience real information. Yes. So that in itself is a skill. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you. Thank you. No, that wasn't it wasn't an easy interview, but it was more exactly what you said of me being in my head, you know, because there are certain times when I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to ask? Just like when Hans, I messed up the word. I don't even know how to pronounce this word, you know, especially when I'm reading and I haven't seen it before because I don't read, you know, script everything prior to the show. So it was difficult, but after the show, I can look back and go, you know what? It was a wonderful show. And the guests didn't notice during the show. But sometimes you get in your own head and you think, okay, these people are so smart. I don't know if I'm going to be able to measure up. And we're always measuring ourselves up against someone. Kim, I see you nodding. I love to hear your thoughts.
I'm just agreeing with everything you're saying. It is true. And the thing is, well, here's an example too. Have you ever been in you're at a conference and the person says, does anybody have any questions? And you do, but you don't put your hand up because you're afraid because you're going to look stupid if you ask that question. Well, I stopped doing that. And let me tell you, when I ask the questions, everybody's looking because they have the same questions, but they're the ones who are afraid to ask it. So now, I don't know, it probably comes with age, ladies, you know, like you get to a certain age and you don't care. You don't care because you realize that, no, there are tons of people that are thinking and feeling the way that I am. And I'm just going to take this chance because if people are talking about me or actually it's, what's the saying? I'm not that interesting that people have to be talking about me after the fact, you know, like,
yes.
It's true. You think they're thinking about you or talking about you that you screwed up the word? No, they're onto their own thing. They're into their own lives. You know, yes. They're not reminiscing about how you screwed up a word in your talk show. They don't care.
Yes, yes. I learned that. And it's been so freeing. I definitely agree with you. I just turned 45 in March. And this to me has been, we're going to ask George about, you know, age. Not that George knows a lot about that, but we're going to ask George. But 45 has been one of the most freeing ages. Like, I love the freedom of just being okay with me. I was one of those kids who, and again, my mom's nickname as a kid was, because her name was Patricia, was Perfect Patty, right? So I tell people, imagine for a moment being Perfect Patty's daughter. So everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be right. And I dealt with that and I live with that. Now I'm like, okay, I don't care. We're going to do this show. Whatever happens, I mess up the word. It's okay. And I just got to this point of being okay. George, did that come with age?
No.
No?
Every step that we take comes from learning something. Mm-hmm. That's what we are doing. We think of ourselves as each day is a picture. And they now put these pictures together. And that is a snapshot of your life. Now they're put together and they sew them together and they become a quilt. And you get to look back at all those things that took place in your life. Some you say, well, I don't want that one repeated. Or this one is, gee, that was great because I felt so good. I came away with that enthusiasm that I really needed to go on to the next day. Because sometimes a group of people will give you that uplifting feeling that that's what you needed at that moment. They help you pick yourself up because no one else can do it. It's like anger. Anger is something that we have, but guess what? No one else cares. So therefore, we need to get back to what we do and how we do it. The mechanics are there in our self every day. The problem is turning them on to make us feel that we are our own salvation. And this is what we're doing. We're bringing ourselves up with our own bootstraps. And so positive talk, being around positive people. That's where I like to be. As they say, if you're not the smartest person in the world, get into a group that is. It's more that you learn. Each step that we're making is another picture in that quilt. And those are successes as well as failures. But don't make the failure the whole focus of the entire quilt. It's just one piece. So we can be successful or we can be what we want. Now, remember, success only comes from those that want it. It doesn't just get handed to them. Therefore, what is success? That particular item, you then have to know what it is. I had a job in Minneapolis, and I had a constant walking back and forth across a particular sidewalk. And in that one big building that was empty, they had brought in a bunch of people that were handicapped. And so I noticed in the window, this one lady in a wheelchair was trying to take and make one of these little hot pads where you pull the thing through and then hook it on one side and then pull it through and hook it on the other side. And all there were was just kind of used cloth and it became a little hot pad. But this woman worked on moving one string from one side, weaving it through to the other, and it took her almost one day.
Oh, wow.
But that was a success to her.
Yes.
She became successful because she got that one done.
Yes.
So we can be successful in whatever we need to be. So that's up to you. What do you want to make as a success?
I agree.
You set that benchmark.
I agree. I think that's wonderful. Now, Kim, one of the things that you mentioned is at what point did you decide, determine, or ascertain that you were doing God's work?
Well, when I finally realized that I was really going down a rabbit hole, I asked him for his help. I've prayed to him, but I never asked him for help for me. It was always take care of this person, that person, this person. And when I asked him for help, I remember I was at home, I was on my couch, because I was killing myself with addictions, because I was trying to numb myself from the feelings that I was having. And it changed from there. I gave up my will to him. I decided that, what my will is killing me. My decisions are killing me. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but like, how do you give up your will for somebody and it's God, and how is he making decisions for you? But I'm telling you, it happens. You have the faith and it happens. And since then, he's been taking care of me and taking me down the path he wants me to go to. And I've been following. And I got baptized in November, and because I had to wait for COVID. And when I got baptized that November that just passed, I swear to God, everything just opened up. And within that same week, I woke up and I had my mental health back. I could not put an email together. I couldn't drive somewhere without getting lost. I was so frustrated with myself for the last year and a half that I just reserved myself to not having any intelligence anymore. And this was after just finishing my master's. The same month I finished my master's is when this incident happened. And I was going on. I was going on to be, you know, the next promotion, like, and then I lost it all mentally. So God, he hugely had a big part. I go to church now, and in doing God's work, it was something that helped me throughout my healing, which was hydrogen-rich water. And it helped me with my brain function. It helped me get my mental health back throughout this whole process. And everything with him giving me signs had to do with water. I'm like, okay, you got it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help everybody else that I can help with this water, because I have a testimony about my mental health, and my doctor telling me your progress is absolutely amazing. And if I had to have a case study over the last 10 years, and she's been doing this for 35, you would be it. From where I was to where I came from. Yeah. And I know it's God. I know it's the water. I know it's, yeah. I'm just thrilled. Yes.
I think it's beautiful. And I do not in any form or fashion think it's ridiculous. I think more people need to be open to being led and follow where God, or what their definition of God is, spirit, some people say, leads them. One of the things that I always talk about is when I do my speaking engagements, when I first started doing speaking engagements, I was so scripted. I had written everything down. This is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to do. Now I don't do any of that. I just say, God, speak through me. Whatever you want to say, the message that you want to deliver, let the people hear it. And that has worked for me. And some of the most amazing speaking engagements that I have had, I'm like, that wasn't me, that was God. So right. I get it. I definitely get it. And I applaud you for being authentic. That's a word we got from Hans earlier, authentic in who you are. Now this, we're coming down to the last few minutes of our show. We only have a few minutes left, but what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Celeste.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, this has been a joy. It's been wonderful to meet Kim, Hans, and George. I am fascinated by all three of you. And of course, Sharifa, it's amazing what you've done and continue to do. It's very simple. I just want everybody to check in with themselves, with how you're holding yourself, how important body language is, that we all have presence. And there is a positive energy that you can bring out anytime you really need it. And it is a matter of seeing how you're holding yourself and smiling. Smiling, you will instantly recall a positive memory. And even if it's one that's plastered on, when that positive memory comes through, it becomes a real smile. And that changes everything for you and for the people around you. And I have a simple newsletter that goes out once a week of just short stories and experiences that I've had that I will hope help inspire other people. And you can find it at celestedecamps.com. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you. George, what do you have for us?
It's I did a newsletter that I would take and send out twice a week. And I found it to take and be more of what was going on in the world versus news per se. Because it was little tidbits of things that were happening in each part of the world. And in some cases, it was how they managed to take and survive those incidents. And the one thing that a lot of people brought on today was God is part of this incident and not causing it, but being there for the people when they had to take and look through the rubble for a family member or whatever it would be. So I will say one thing. I work under a company name, New Brunswick Industries, or NBII, and I have a website and the rest of it, but you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on LinkedIn or whatever. But if you want to talk about business, I'm here to help. If you want to just have a conversation, I can do that too. So I've accumulated a couple of years under my belt, as they say. My stomach now hangs over my belt. So that's the way I look at it. I am a human being passing through time right now, and I can give a little bit. If somebody else needs, I'll do it. That's me.
Thank you, George. You seem like you have a lot of information and knowledge. I might just have to call you and talk to you one day.
You're welcome anytime.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hans, what do you have for us?
I would ask people to focus on their self-care, that this has been a really challenging year, and you likely are either overindulging or starving yourself in some way, shape, or form based on the weirdness of our times. And I would ask you to just go back to the basics. Focus on healthy food, focus on drinking water, focus on getting good sleep, focus on moving your body, and also focus on de-stressing. And then add in whatever other self-care items there are for you. I like to skateboard. I like to boogie board. I like to ride my bicycle. I like to talk to friends. I like to drive. And so I'm doing those things on a regular basis to feed myself as we move into this new normal. So focus on self-care. I'm Hans Phillips at ontoco.com, O-N-T-O-C-O. Lots of great information over there that's no cost. Happy to support people if they want to schedule an appointment.
That's cool. So basically you just go skateboarding down the street.
Yes, ma'am.
That's kind of cool. You know what I mean? I always think it's always these young whippersnappers out there skateboarding. So, hey, have some fun. Practice self-care. I love it. Thank you, Hans. Miss Kim, what do you have for us? What is your message?
My message is never give up on yourself, because you can overcome, because I didn't think I could. You can overcome addictions. You can overcome mental health. You have to reach out for help, though. Okay, because nobody's going to know you're hurting if you don't let somebody know. And it's the hardest thing to do, but I'm telling you, you're worth it. You're so worth it. So yes, I can be a sounding board for that. In the book that I wrote, there are two chapters, touches on the incident of the day that led me to where I am right now. Also, if anybody's interested in the water, my God, I can't say enough about it. www.crazywatergirls.com. Can't forget that one.com. You can check it out. You can send us a message, and we also offer free trials. So don't believe me. You can try it for yourself and see how it affects your body, but it's changed my life. But other than that, yeah, I'm here if anybody wants to talk.
I want to hear more about this water. We touched on so many different areas, but I'm like, okay, tell me a little bit about the water.
The water, it's a medical device from Japan. It's a alkalizing ionizer. It sits on your countertop. It hooks up easily to your tap. There's no plumbing involved. And it takes your tap water and uses the minerals in it to create hydrogen-rich water, which means you're drinking your antioxidants instead of having to worry about eating them. And one glass is equal to 40,000 blueberries in antioxidants. It's incredible. So you're having a surplus of them. It's alkalized by electricity, so it's buffering the acidity in your body. And it's restructured, so it's got cellular hydration. So that is how, I mean, besides the body parts, but the restructuring is what helped me, because it's the only water that can pass through your brain blood barrier. So it can hydrate your brain. Because if you're drinking anything else, which everybody is, your brain isn't hydrated. And I can, I have all the science to prove that. And I myself am a testimonial of the differences. And we have a brain specialist that can attest to it. She's had 44% increase in her patients with numerous mental health issues, which would like ADHD children, autism, dementia, PTSD, anxiety. Like, people don't think there's a whole range of what encompasses mental health, you know? And people also don't think that you should put as much into what water you drink like you do into your food. Water comes before food. And we, I mean, everything comes under air, but we don't really have a choice on that. And we know how toxic that is. So,
yes, yes. Wow, I love it. I have to check it out. Crazywatergirls.com?
Please do. We give free trials too.
I love free. That's my favorite number. So I'm going to go and check it out. This has been an incredible show. I want to thank you all for being today's guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live. I definitely appreciate you. But even if you didn't catch the show live and you're watching it in the archives, I appreciate your support. And I just ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show, but that you support our guests. I appreciate all of that. But our guests are here this morning to be authentic and to share their stories with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.